We don't have songbooks, but we have a digital version. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love, his wonderful love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love, his wonderful love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell his wonderful love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love. His wonderful love will give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. Just one more time. We'll give the glory to Jesus. Oh, and tell of his love, his wonderful love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, you're good, you're kind, you're loving, Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, we just want to tell of your love. We want
Thank
to
you,
tell of your
Jesus.
goodness, Lord.
Yes.
Just as you walked along the shores of Galilee,
Yes, Lord.
you walked along, Lord, the streets of Jerusalem, Lord.
Amen.
And we know in your word it says, Lord, as you pass through in those different towns,
Yes,
you
Lord.
heal them all, Lord Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ. I'm
Amen.
so grateful, Father, that you came with such compassion, that,
Amen.
Lord, is at our point of need, Lord Jesus Christ, you'd meet us, Lord,
Hallelujah.
and just supply, Father, unto every need, Lord. And I
Jesus.
pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that our faith would rise,
Mm.
that we'd touch the hem of your garment.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord Jesus Christ, as your word shall go forth,
Yes,
may it
Lord.
minister to us, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
May it, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, transform us, Lord Jesus
Yes,
Christ, by the renewing of our minds, Lord.
Lord.
Till, Lord Jesus Christ, we can look up and only see you
Amen.
raised, Lord Jesus Christ, above all creation.
Hallelujah.
And Lord Jesus Christ, ministering us even to that place in
Thank you,
heavenly
Lord.
places in
Right.
Christ Jesus. Change us, I pray, Lord, and make us more like you. Amen. I was going to say if you've got your songbooks, but you don't. So, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. He's saving me, He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise His name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus, see, he's wonderful, mighty to deliver. Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, once a slave, now I'm free.
free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven. Wonderful is inscribed on the book of heaven. Wonderful, wonderful,
wonderful.
Oh, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor. He's my Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, saving me, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, I change grace's role in my lowly station, since my soul has received full and free salvation. Wonderful, wonderful, oh, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He is my counselor, is my Prince of Peace. Oh, mighty God is He, saving me, saving me, oh, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise He. Wonderful, oh, wonderful, oh, wonderful, Jesus is my counselor, He's my Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, saving me, oh, keeping me from all sin. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with bells all ring? Won't it be wonderful then, when with the Savior we enter the glory land? Won't it be wonderful then, ended the troubles and cares of the story land? Won't it be wonderful then? Oh, won't it be wonderful then, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing? Won't it be wonderful then? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful then? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful then? Won't it be, won't it be wonderful then, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing? Won't it be wonderful then? Walking and talking, walking and talking with Christ the super now one. Won't it be wonderful then? And I'm praising, adoring the matchless eternal one. Won't it be wonderful then? Won't it be, won't it be wonderful then, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing? Won't it be wonderful then? And perhaps we'll sing, How Great Thou Art.
And you just think, that he should so care for us. And yet he condescended to be wrapped with swaddling cloth. Turtle doves is his offering, is his mama's offering for him. So poor. And yet he's our Savior. Oh Lord my God. Oh, that's a little too high. I think we'll end up in the stratosphere then. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy path throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh Lord, how great thou art, how great thou art. Went through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from mountains grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Oops. Shalom, saints. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Ngoni, for the song worship. May the Lord bless you for that, Brother. Brother Alex, Sister Anne can't be here tonight. And also I can see the weather's not the best. Wow. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John straight away. If I can find my mouse and share here. Is that sharing it from here, bro?
It will be.
I'm already sharing, yeah? Is that from my computer, that there? Yeah. So I just have to put my PowerPoint, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we are wanting to look at John chapter 5. Sorry, I'm just trying to get. John chapter 6, verse 35. John 6, 35, Jesus said, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So it shows that when we're hungry spiritually, and that spills over in the natural. I mean, if your soul is not satisfied, you're going to find your spirit is not satisfied, and you're going to have a lot of issues in your life. It shows that when you have that kind of a hunger, we're not sufficiently doing what Jesus said. He says, come unto me. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Then from verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So if you're eating of this bread of heaven, you'll never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. So he's saying that the bread is going to come down and become flesh. The word becomes flesh, and then that bread is going to be broken. And anybody who partakes of the bread, you're going to receive eternal life. That's a blessed promise. Let's pray. Father, as we do look to you and your word, once again, we ask of you for your grace. We ask of thee for your mercy. Ask of you for your leadership and guidance upon this night. Would you pray for them that aren't here, that you touch them, that you'll be with them, that you'll bless them, and your people gathered online, Lord, your special blessing upon them as well. Jesus, glorify thy name. Anoint us and bless us and lead us as we thank you for the song worship. We acknowledge thee now, Lord. Guide our footsteps spiritually, we pray. And Father, we just want your will to be done in this place upon this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. So we're looking at this thought of the bread of heaven.
Just to start the share, I hadn't been sharing the screen.
Okay, sorry, I'll go and share there now. So we need to share on Zoom. And sorry, saints, 1 second. So we want to share desktop one, yeah?
Desktop two.
Two, okay. And then we'll just put our presentation again. And there you go. So we're looking at this thought of bread from heaven. And it's quite a thought. There's different reasons you come to it. The thought we've been on the last few weeks was on the family altar. And so I was just looking at things about what is the family altar. And I saw that Jesus, many, many times he had the family altar. He had it with his disciples. He had it with his followers. There's many places you'll find in the Bible when Abraham, the Lord came down and had a meal with him and spoke things over and had a family talk and explained the things that were to come, what was going to happen in Sodom. And you go through Jesus with them on the way to Emmaus. He went and he had a family altar with them and broke the bread in the house to them. Jesus with his disciples in the upper room. When he had the Last Supper with them, it was a family altar. It was him gathering with the family and he broke the bread and he gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. And I just saw there was a common theme in all of those family altars is that Jesus would always break the bread. When he gathered them all on the hillside, he took the loaves of bread, he broke them and he fed the 5,000 and he fed them with fish. You know, so there was this common theme and there's a principle behind that. So what would be the principal theme? Jesus here is pointing us to the principal theme that we should always be focusing on, which is upon him, which is upon the bread of life. The broken bread of life. Because Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, if anybody partakes, comes and eats of this bread, they'll never die. Mm. Yeah. Then he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So he's pointing us to himself all the time. And I think there's a tendency in us in this day that we're living, we can focus on so many other things. And they're good things, many of them. But many times we focus so much on the secondary that we lose sight of the primary, and then you find it starts to affect you inside of your spiritual life. Because your life is only going to be as strong as your relationship personally with Christ, because he is the bread that comes down from heaven. Yeah, and eating, partaking from him. He's not pointing to other things. He's saying, I am the bread. You know, so he's saying, come and eat of me. That's very personal. You know, so that's really, really spending time with him and eating of his word. Then I started to think about this bread coming down from heaven. You know, our approach to Christ, our approach to the things of his kingdom. It's natural for us as fallen people to be legalistic. Right from Eden, as soon as Adam and Eve fell, they thought they had to do something. They had to cut fig leaves, make themselves a religion. You know, it's been all through time. There's that saying, and it's a very true one, that all other religions, it's man seeking God. But in Christianity, it's God seeking man. It's grace. You know, the whole basis of all we believe and all we are as Christians, as believers, is grace. Yes, there's things which secondarily, in order to live a sanctified life, in order to walk with the Lord and not grieve the Holy Ghost, there's things we have to do, things we have to keep. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But we're not saved in any way by keeping any commandments. Now, the reason we keep the commandments is because we're saved. The reason that we dress properly is because we are saved. The reason that we keep church order is because we're saved and we want there to be an atmosphere which is pleasing to the Lord. But none of those things pertain to salvation. You can dress right, you can keep church order, not be saved because you're not partaking of Christ. You're not coming unto Him who is salvation and believing on Him. And that is the only basis for salvation is grace. And if you think of Jesus saying, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. He speaks about the people in the wilderness, how they ate of the manna. The manna was grace to Israel. There's nothing that Israel did to merit the manna. They were perishing in the wilderness. They were hungry. They were thirsty. The Lord gave them manna from heaven. He gave them the smitten rock. Not because they had to keep certain laws or creeds or commandments. That's not, the manna started long before they got to Mount Sinai when the law was given. The manna was given under grace when the Lord had delivered them from Egypt, sending Moses to them, the prophet, the priest, and the king, who was a type of Christ. He came and delivered them from bondage and was taking them to the promised land. And the manna came, it was a grace provision. It's because the Lord saw the needs of the people and He rained bread down from heaven. Then Jesus comes and says, I am the true bread that comes from heaven. That was just a type of me. He says, many of those people who ate the manna, they perished in the end. He says, but if you eat of this bread, you'll never die. You know, this is bread that'll give you eternal life if you come and partake of me. So it really is a grace provision. You know, that, like I say, we are so prone to think that we have to do certain things so that we can obtain salvation. We've got to do certain things for the Lord to be pleased with us. No, Paul says we are accepted in the beloved. We're accepted because Christ was accepted, and we are accepted in Him. That is the basis of this covenant of grace, like Brother Eddie's been showing in the Sunday schools, that this is a grace covenant we're under. There are certain things, yes, if you want to continue to walk with the Lord, if you want the Lord to be real inside of your life. I mean, Brother says, I'm saved. I could go and sit and fish every day of my life and still be saved because I'm saved by grace. But you're not going to have very much fellowship and much spiritual growth if you just can sit and fish all your life. Now, you want to go on. You want to press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ, like Paul said. But that is not for salvation. That is from salvation. That is not for divine favor. That's because you already have divine favor. We labor from that place of grace. We don't labor for grace. Grace is unmerited favor. There's nothing we can do to merit salvation. That's why Christ had to come and live a perfect life. He came down, the bread from heaven, to live a perfect life. So He merited our salvation. And that is the basis of our salvation. And it's good to remind one another of that on a regular basis because we are very works-centric people. Yeah, and then we feel, look, I didn't pray so much this week. I didn't read my Bible much this week. And you think that changes your standing with the Lord. It doesn't. You accept it in Christ. It's got nothing to do how much you read the Bible. It had nothing to do with how much you pray. Now your spiritual condition, your effectiveness in Christ is going to be determined by how much you wait on the Lord, how much you pray, how much you get in the Word, you yield. That's going to so much affect how much fruit you bring forth, how much reward you're going to receive on that day. That's up to you and me, how much eternal reward. Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven. He says, labor for these kind of things. So, but that's a completely different thing than salvation. We're not speaking about salvation in any way, that we merited something. What did it merit? What did we do to merit Jesus coming down from heaven for us, to die for us? We weren't even born. We weren't even here. This was grace. He died for us before we even came into existence on this earth. You know, so this bread that comes down from heaven, it's totally grace. And that's why the invitation that Jesus said is simply to come. He says, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Anybody that comes and eats of this bread, will never die. It's like it's really grace, and salvation is very simple, and we need to keep it like that. We don't need to be, you know, becoming a organizational people, denominational people, that you put all of these things in the way of salvation, and people have to jump through all these hoops if they want to be saved. It was so simple in the Bible. When that Ethiopian eunuch, the first day he heard about Christ, he says, "Here is water. What has hindered me from being baptized?" And Paul says, if you believe, Philip said, you can, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be baptized. And he says, I believe. And he is baptized that very day. There's not a lot of requirements in salvation. There's not a lot of requirements for baptism. It's if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then you baptize in his name, you repent and be baptized in his name. That's the basis of our salvation. That is the foundation of our standing with the Lord. And now we need to build, obviously, upon the foundation of faith. Now you want temperaments and you want to walk with the Lord. Now develop the nature, the stature of Christ inside of your life so that you can really glorify him in this life. Now, because he's worthy of that, obviously. But there's no merit in this. For this bread to come down from heaven, it was totally grace. And it's always going to be grace. And then Jesus, now in the same scripture, he says, he's speaking about whosoever. It's very personal, this. You can never subcontract. The Lord has made it that the important things spiritually can never be subcontracted. Faith, you can never subcontract your faith to somebody else. Now, you can never get somebody else to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for you to be saved. You've got to believe it yourself. You've got to partake of this bread yourself. Yeah, you can't subcontract your prayer life to somebody else. And so, well, let somebody else pray for me. No, there's so many things you don't need to be subcontracting in this life. The important things of life, we've got to personally make sure we're responsible for those things. For example, eating. You don't subcontract someone to go and do your eating for you. You don't subcontract someone to do your sleeping for you, or someone to do your dating or courtship with somebody for you and marry someone for you. You don't do that. The important things of life, you've got to assume personal responsibility about these things. And your relationship with Christ, your partaking of this bread that comes down from heaven, your daily bread as we get into it, is a total personal responsibility. Now it's between you and the Lord. This is because you love him. This is because he died for you. This is because he saved you. These are things that you come to on a regular basis. So it's a personal thing. You know, it's accepting, first of all, when he says, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. The first thing he's going to do in the work of salvation, when you come to the altar, he's going to call you and he's going to break a portion of this bread of life and he's going to offer it to you. And he's going to freely offer it to you. And that is the bread of salvation. Because this is the bread of life. So he breaks a portion. If somebody preaches to you, Christ is preached to you, Christ crucified. He died for your sin. The Lord is offering you that first portion of bread. And the moment you, by simple faith, realizing you are a sinner, that you need salvation, and this bread is being offered to you, this bread of life, you take of that bread. While you're at the altar, you put up your hand, I'm accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. You come and you pray, whatever that it is, whichever outward form that it takes. But you're taking that bread of life and you partake of it yourself. You eat of that bread. You believe for yourself. That bread now, just like if a man is starving and you find him and you give him some bread because he hasn't eaten for so much time. He takes of that bread. He chews it. He swallows it. It gets digested in his system and it starts to give life to him once again. When a person comes to Christ by just taking of that bread and partaking of it yourself, Jesus said that. You come and take of this bread. What does it do? It goes down, it's the bread of life, and goes down into the soul of a person. That person's soul was dead. That person's spiritual life was dead. But just that first partaking of the bread of life, by simple faith, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and taking that word of that you've heard, the word of faith that Christ died for you, that changes your soul, that quickens your soul. That brings life into your soul now. And for the first time ever since you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, your soul comes to life. And now you're alive to spiritual things. Now you're alive to faith, to the gospel, the kingdom of God. Something happens inside of you. Life comes into you. You've allowed the bread of life to come into your dead situation, and it imparts life into you. That is the power of this bread that comes down from heaven. You know, whatever need that you have, if you can take the bread of life that comes down from heaven, that's been broken, and take that portion of the bread that you need, and you partake of that bread will come and minister to any situation inside of your life. That's the purpose of this bread of life. So as you digest it and you allow the divine nutrients of faith that's inside of that word to start to work inside of your system, it transforms your system. And now you become a believer. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you change from darkness into light. Now you change from death to life. My son who was dead is now alive. My son who was lost is now found. It's as simple as that. When this bread is offered to you, this bread of faith, this bread of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the beginning of your Christian life. When you just, in simple form, you take it. And now, Jesus said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Now, the prophet speaks many, many times. He looked once at the prayer meeting some time back. At the prophet spoke about the word, yeah, is the spirit in word form. He says, and then when you approach the word the right way, give it the right conditions, the word goes back into spirit form again. Yeah, and you find that word starts to manifest inside of your life, starts to change you once again. So the spirit came down in word form. And then when you partake, you digest, you meditate, you believe that word, give it an opportunity to express itself. You find that that word now becomes spirit form and manifests itself in your life once again. And that's what when you speak into the bread from heaven, the spirit, Jesus, the Logos himself, before the foundation of the world, he came down, being in spirit form, he came down as bread. You see, and when you now partake of the bread, you approach the bread of life the right way, and you partake, you eat of that bread, and you take it into your life, you take it into your situation, take it into your circumstances with the right attitude, in simplicity, you find the bread now becomes spirit once again. You now have real, real fellowship with him. Yeah, when we partaking of this bread of life, when you taking of the word and you fellowshipping with the word and you approaching it the right way, you humbling yourself. Yes. There's an atmosphere that comes with the word. And that word doesn't stay now just as bread anymore, but the bread becomes the spirit of Christ. And you start now fellowshipping with Christ once again. Amen. And that's really what you're wanting to do. When you approach the bread of life correctly, it's transformed from being the bread back into spirit. And then you start having communion with the Lord. You start having fellowship with Christ. You start feeling it inside of your soul. You feel it deep within the veil. Something's been transformed. Something's been quickened. You know, he's giving you hope. He's giving you life. He's shining light upon your path. Whatever it is that you're looking for inside of your life. Because the prophet said that. You know, he says the Holy Spirit is the word made manifest. So the Spirit became Word, and now the Word manifests itself. The Holy Ghost quickens the Word, and now you fellowshipping with the Spirit of Christ himself. You know, it's not just a dry letter anymore, but because you're getting into the Spirit of what you're approaching the Word the right way, the Lord is offering you now himself the broken bread. You take in of the bread, you partake of the bread, it becomes part of your system. It starts working spiritually inside of you now. Amen. It sanctifies you, does whatever that it needs to do. It quickens you, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, the proof, we've said it before, that somebody has accepted this bread of life and has been regenerate, has been born again, is because the new life, when you come to Christ, when you are born again, that life inside of you will only be satisfied with the bread that comes down from heaven. There's only one thing that feeds the genuine spiritual life in a child of God, and that is the Word. That is Christ. That is the revelation. That is the broken bread. There's nothing else that will satisfy your soul. We get involved in this, we do that, we watch this, we read other things, and you become hungry once again. You start feeling your spiritual hunger. It's because you haven't been partaken of the right kind of bread. And your soul is not satisfied by the things of the world. That prodigal son, he knew that he could never be satisfied trying to eat those husks. You know, those things which they gave him, which when he was feeding the swine, they couldn't. No, that's not, he knew. But in my Father's house, there's a different kind of bread. And in my Father's house, even the servants have bread enough and to spare. You know, he knew where satisfaction was. He knew where he could get his hunger satisfied. And we go out in the world, we play around in YouTube, we play around a lot in social media. And those things in measure, they're fine in themselves. But they don't satisfy your soul. The new life that comes into you when you accept Christ, the life of Christ that's inside of a believer, is only satisfied by daily bread. Amen. By daily partaking of broken bread, bread that comes down from heaven, that satisfies your soul. When you're feasting on Christ, you're feasting on His revelation, you're feasting on the revelation of His Word, that is your satisfying portion. That is when you start getting satisfaction back in your spiritual life once again. And like I say, when you're not satisfied in your soul is the central part of who you are. That is the wheel within the wheel. That is the hub. That is the core of who you are. Hallelujah. And when your soul is not being satisfied with bread from heaven on a regular basis, it starts to get hungry. Yeah, and then from there, it spills out into a human spirit. Now you start getting irritable with people. You get impatient now with people. Now, if you're given to anger, you manifest anger. If you're given to impatience, you manifest impatience. Depending on what type of temperament you are, it's going to start manifesting itself. If you've got more melancholy, you'll start getting moody. You know, if you're more a phlegmatic person, you'll go even more into not speaking much to people. You know, it's just because you're not satisfied. The answer is always the same thing. Jesus is the answer every single time. You need a fresh partaking of the bread of heaven. That's all that you need. And when you now take the bread of heaven back into your system again, it's like a hungry man. I mean, if somebody is really, really hungry, they're starving. You might come to them and say, hey, let's have some fellowship. They're not interested in fellowship. They're hungry. They need food first. The most important thing, get the nutrients back inside of their body. Give them the right food. Let them digest that food. The nutrients will be assimilated and be converted into energy. And then after some time, they come back to themselves. Now they're satisfied. Now you can say, let's have some fellowship. Let's go on the street. Let's go and evangelize some people. But unless a person is well fed in their natural, as a natural person, you know, you can talk about secondary issues, but first, get first things first. Get a person well fed, get their immune system going right again by giving them the right food. Then when they're back in the right natural condition by eating the right food, you can now speak to them about doing other things, and the same spiritually. If a person is not satisfied inside of their soul, there's no point in speaking to them about evangelism or speaking to their neighbor about Christ or speaking about other things, because they're hungry inside of themselves and they don't realize it. And how we manifest our spiritual hunger is what? We, like Adam and Eve, we hide in the garden now. Now we get ourselves busy on that. We hide in our career, hide in our education. We hide in behind the business of life. We hide in YouTube. We hide in video games or something because we're not satisfied. But at some stage, we've got to just come back to the basics again and say, hey, Jesus is giving us an invitation of grace on a continual basis as believers to say, if you're hungry, come and partake of me. I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will never hunger. That's what he says. You will always be satisfied. You know, I am your satisfying portion. It's like that. No matter what situation, no matter what age you are, no matter what sex, no matter what stage you are in your Christian life, we all come to stages where we get spiritually hungry. And the reason that I came to this was, to me, things were too busy these months gone by. I just got to that stage, you just get spiritually hungry. You know, you just say, Lord, I just want to stop everything else. I just need to spend time with you. I need the bread that comes down from heaven for myself. It's fine going and breaking the bread to other people. That's wonderful. That's what gifts and ministries are for. But you got to make sure that your own soul is satisfied. Because when your soul is not satisfied, when you, as say the father of the home, are not partaking personally of Christ, the bread that comes down from heaven, you're not going to do so much good for your family at the family altar, are you? No, you're not going to do so much good dealing with other people. You've got to make sure that, first of all, when you put it in the other terminology, the fire is burning on your own personal altar. Now we're speaking about, okay, when you're wanting to have a family altar, you know, what is the central theme? What is the role of the Father? You should be breaking the bread of life like Jesus did to his disciples. But before you can break the bread of life, you need to go and get a fresh meal. You need to go get a fresh portion of the bread of life yourself. Fresh time with the Lord. Fresh revelation of his personal presence inside of your life. Fresh, simple communion with Christ. Now you've got some bread. Because the Bible says Jesus, when he took the loaves and he took the fish, he says he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and they went and fed the people. You know, so they first had to get the bread themselves from Jesus. Then they could go and feed the people. That's what you've got to do with our families. That's what you've got to do in church. We've got to make sure we're not running our resources personally too low, which can happen. It happened to Elijah. That's why the Lord had to put him under the juniper tree and send the angel to come and cook fresh bread for him and break the bread for him. Then when he partook of bread and rested once again, he went in the strength of that meat, that bread, for many days. Mm-hmm. He needed the bread that came down from heaven. He needed the angel to come and cook him fresh bread, which speaks of fresh revelation, fresh communion and fellowship with Christ. Then he was qualified now to push on once again in the strength of that. We need it on a regular basis. And the evidence of people that have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that have tasted, partaken of the bread of life, is they're never satisfied with anything else. They just want more and more of their bread of life. Now, if you find somebody, they're satisfied inside of their life, they don't even hunger and thirst anymore for the bread of life, something's gone wrong there big time. Because the evidence of a healthy spiritual life is like the evidence of a healthy person. They have a healthy appetite. Mm-hmm. They have an appetite. When someone's lost their appetite, the doctor's going to try to find there's something wrong. Something else has come inside here because you don't have a healthy appetite anymore. And spiritually speaking, the same thing. You know, when you get out of tune with the Lord, or sin comes in, or disappointment comes in, there's so many reasons you find somebody spiritually loses their appetite. They're not partaking of hungering and thirsting like before for the bread of heaven. Woo. Now you've got to diagnose the case and find out, okay, like Paul said to the Galatians, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Something hindered you along the way. Now, we don't want it to be like that. You know, we want to be maintain a good spiritual appetite. And you want to make sure that he is the satisfying portion of that appetite. Nothing else. Creeds, even doctrines and that are all good. Those are secondary things. It's him himself. He says, I am the bread of life. It's your personal time with Christ himself. Him revealing himself to you. It's always going to be a word revelation because he is the word. He's the broken bread that comes down from heaven. But it's that personal fellowship with Christ, personal communion with Christ, personal feeding of Christ himself. That's the only thing that's going to give you satisfaction. Yes, bro. Sorry, is it coming off?
It's rustling quite a bit.
Oh, sorry. Thank you very much. So that's the most important thing inside of our lives, is to get your soul satisfied. And God has made a grace provision.
Yes.
And that is bread that came down from heaven. You don't have to, that's the manna. When you were in the wilderness journey in Israel, if you wanted to keep pace with the Exodus, if you wanted to keep heading on towards the end of the journey, you just had one thing you needed to do. You needed to take that grace provision of the bread that came down from heaven, gather your portion on a daily basis and partake of that bread that came down from heaven. And that had all the nutrients. God had designed that bread. That was angels' food, the Bible says. God knew exactly the right nutrients to put inside of that manna to give you exactly the energy, the strength you needed to overcome whatever he has ordained you to overcome on a daily basis. Now, if you had to do physical labor, that manna would give you the energy for the physical labor. If you needed patience as a mother to look after your children, the manna gave you exactly the resources that you needed physically to do whatever it is that you were called to do physically that day. And it was a simple daily partaking of the daily bread, the bread that came down from heaven. And that is a type of Christ. That's why Jesus says, those people that did that to them physically, what the manna did to Israel physically, natural Israel, is what this bread does spiritually to spiritual Israel. It gives you the overcoming power.
Amen.
It gives you the daily vision, the daily purpose, the daily whatever it is that's required to do whatever the Lord's calling you to do. Maybe you have to go through persecution like Paul. It's the bread of heaven that's going to come down. There Paul is in Corinth. He's been persecuted. He's been beaten in different places. Here comes the bread of heaven himself comes down and reveals to Paul, do not fear. No one's going to hurt you. I have many people in this city. And that was his satisfying portion. That personal revelation of Jesus to him concerning his personal circumstances he was going through. What did Job need when he was on the ash heap? He needed a fresh portion of bread from heaven. I know my Redeemer lives. And though the skin worms consume this body, yet in this flesh I will see my God for myself and not another. It was that revelation of Christ. It was that personal portion of the bread of that came down from heaven, which came to minister personally to his situation.
Yes.
The Lord knew exactly what to put in the daily bread, the manna that Job needed that day, what Paul needed that day, what Daniel needed that day, what the Hebrew children needed that day. It gives you strength for the day to overcome whatever he's ordained you to go through. That's the power of this bread that comes down from heaven.
Amen.
But if you're going to leave the bread out there and not go and gather it, you're going to start losing pace. Now, if the manna's out there and you've got to get out before the sun comes up, because the manna fell on the dew, didn't fall on the ground according to the Bible. So you had to get out there and gather your manna early, otherwise the manna got spoiled. So you had to gather your manna, and it wasn't good enough just to gather the manna. No, to have all the manna gathered in the Word, have all the manna gathered on your shelf, you had to partake of that. That's what Jesus is saying. He who comes and eats of this bread of life, eat of it, partake of it. No, take it, chew it, take it to yourself personally, chew it, digest it, meditate upon it. Let it go down and do its job as part of within your spiritual system. It'll start to put spiritual nutrients and spiritual vitamins and whatever it is that you need to overcome the situation that you're in, you're going to find it in your portion of daily bread for the day. It's as simple as that. That's why when they asked the prophet, how can I get closer to the Lord? He said, read your Bible more and pray more. You know, just create the right atmosphere through prayer, get the hindrances out of the way, and then say, Lord, you might say, which portion of the word should I of this broken daily bread should I be partaking of? Go and ask him, say, Father, give me this day my daily bread.
Amen.
And he'll lead you to what you're supposed to read.
Right.
He'll lead you to what you're supposed to meditate upon. He'll lead you to what you're supposed to be listening to. And you feel it inside of your soul, because when you find that portion of daily bread, the bread you need for that day, you start to feel it inside of your soul. You start to feel straight away that, wow, this is what I need.
Amen.
And you don't want to leave that portion of the word. You don't want to leave that portion of the message you're listening to, whatever that it is, because it's ministering exactly the virtue, the spiritual revelation, spiritual stimulation, spiritual quickening, spiritual nutrients, whatever that it is, exactly what you need for what you're going through. And that is the most satisfying thing. Remember, the Lord said to Abraham, I am El Shaddai.
Yes.
He said, I am your satisfying portion. Just come to me each day, Abraham, while you're waiting for the promise. Come and draw strength. Take the nutrients from my breast.
That's right.
All you need, the antibodies and all that you need is found inside. I'm the breasted God. I'm El Shaddai. Like the baby nursing strength from the mother, just come and nurse strength from me. And let the milk which is our daily bread in another form. Let the milk now, the sincere milk of the word that Peter speaks of, get into your system. And then it'll start to do what it's designed to do, divinely designed to do. It'll start putting energy in your system, start putting antibodies, start giving you the immunity that you need, start giving you the strength that you need once again. But we've got to allow this bread from heaven to have a real influence in our daily life. Mm-hmm. That's the only way we can overcome on a daily life, daily basis. Mm-hmm. And he, by his grace, knows exactly which bread you need to partake of. And he's designed the bread like he designed the manna. He's designed his word perfectly to meet exactly your need and mine. Every single need we have, right from when we come out of Egypt to when we go into Canaan, he's already made a provision in the wilderness, and that's the daily bread. And when they got into Canaan now, it says when they went in with Joshua, the manna ceased. Now, when they were in the land of promise now, they ate the old corn of the land. You know, they didn't need the manna anymore now. But all along their pilgrimage journey, all along the Exodus journey, from the time you leave Egypt, when you from the altar, to the time now where you're seated on the throne, you're going to find the manna is going to be your provision, your daily portion to give you what exactly what you need on a daily basis. If you're just willing to go to the Lord, like he said, come. Jesus said, come. I am the daily bread. He who comes to me and eats will never hunger. That's what he said. He who comes and partakes of this daily bread, he said, he will never die, because this is the bread of life. This is the tree of life. You come into the tree of life on a daily basis and partaking of the fruits of the tree of life. Christ is the tree of life, the revelation of who he is. You'll never hunger. So the prophet says, God designed the full gospel for the complete man. Yeah, body, soul, and spirit. The Lord knows. In the wilderness, the manna ministered to their bodies, but many of them were dead spiritually. It gave them all the need. That manna was so effective in the wilderness that it says there was no feeble one among them, and even their garments, their clothes, never waxed old, never got old. They didn't have to go to the tailor. They didn't have to say, okay, we've been getting 40 years, where am I going to get some new clothes from? That was the power of that manna when it came, and the atmosphere and the virtue, naturally speaking, that it imparted on natural Israel. None of them got feeble. They were none sick, none weak.
Right.
Yeah. As long as they partook of the manna, that's all they had to do. And all we have to do is make sure we spend time with Christ. Mm-hmm. That you come with a hungry heart. Like the song, here's my cup, Lord. Yes. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Mm-hmm. Here's my cup, Lord. Come and make me whole, whatever the song says.
Yes.
That is what is on a daily basis. It's that coming to Jesus himself. Yeah. That's where the difference between the Reformation and the Roman Catholic Church. They wanted a priesthood, the Roman Catholic Church. Somebody has to represent you before God. And the Protestant was right from the beginning. Luther, we are priests ourselves. We only have one mediator between us and man, and that is he who is the bread that came down from heaven himself. We can come directly to Christ. We don't need mediators. We don't need people standing. We don't have a holy priesthood in the New Testament church. There's the priesthood of the individual believer. You have just as much right and just as much access to the bread that comes down from heaven as any other person in this planet.
That's right.
No matter what ministry they have, no matter even the prophet, we have as much access to Christ as the prophet, as any ministry, any minister, because Christ died personally for us. He came down from heaven personally for you and for me. And we have personal access, personal authority to come directly to him and partake of the bread of life whenever we are hungry inside of our souls. And most of the social ills and most of the problems we have in our lives, our families, in society, is because people are hungry in their souls. They're not satisfied within the veil. They're not satisfied in their walk with Christ. They're living on a past experience. It's been a long time since they had a personal, fresh dose of the hidden manna.
Yes. that they haven't had something personal and where the Lord spoke to them and ministered to them and they took it in and they waited upon the Lord and fed on His word. And the word now started to manifest itself spiritually with the nutrients and the things inside of their spiritual situation. And they're living with their spiritual tank on E for empty. Yeah, and then they wonder why in their spirit and why in their flesh they start to suffer. Paul said that. David said it. He says, my flesh and my heart long for the living God. Even your body, your nervous system and all of that. You get things right inside of your soul. Mm-hmm. That you have peace with Christ.
That's right.
He's real. You're satisfied in your heart. You're feeding on, you've been worshiping Him and you're feeding on His word. You'll find a change even in your health. David said, it's be health, what? Strength to my, what? Health to my body, strength to my body and health to all your flesh. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. It'll even manifest itself in the physical realm. Because when all is well in the control tower and you have rest and peace and you're sleeping peacefully, it manifests itself in the natural things of your life as well. You'll find even in your job, things move sweetly. As a mechanic, you find, wow, there's oil and wine, even in the way that you handle difficult situations that you couldn't normally handle. Because the blessing of the Lord is real and apparent. And the bread that comes down from heaven is satisfying your soul and it's working from the inside out. Yeah, and the influence and the virtue of Christ is manifest in every aspect of your life. And that's what we really, really want. So that's what I'm saying. This Jesus is saying, I am the true bread. I'm the ideal bread. He says, I'm exactly the bread that you need. Yeah, the Jews say that. And many things the Jews say in their books are wrong. Because they were very, Jesus said, your traditions, you make the word of God of none effect. Because the Bible says that the manna tasted like wafers with honey, remember? Mm-hmm. But the Jews say, they say that the manna, when it came down, it tasted individually to each person exactly what that person desired. And I like that analogy. May not be 100% scripturally true, but it's true spiritually. Because when I'm reading the word now, it's the same word. You're reading the word now, but the word will be tasting to you exactly the taste that you need. It'll be ministering exactly what you need. If you're needing sweetness now, the word tastes sweet. If you're in a situation you want strong drink, strong doctrine, the word's going to give you strong doctrine. If you're a young babe in Christ, like Peter said, desire the sincere milk, the milk of the word. You know, it'll be like you're getting milk from the word. It's like you're getting your baby food, your little, you know, your puree, which is good, which you need when you're young. Yeah. It might be meat to you when you're walking with the Lord. You're in the seals, you're in the depth of the eternal thoughts of God. You're in the depth of the church age book, feeding on the doctrine. But you're not always in that kind of a spiritual condition. There's times you need to leave that and come back to the simplicity again. Yeah. And saying, Lord, I need a brand new touch. Lord, I just need a fresh revelation of who you are. I need a fresh revelation of your glory. I need a fresh revelation of your goodness. You know, so to each and every one of us, Christ is one great being. He's one great diamond, but he's got so many different facets. And you might be looking at him from this side because you need the revelation of Christ, the ox. Because you're going through a hard time inside of your life. You might be victorious and you're challenging the devil. You're on the mountaintop. You are walking with Christ the lion.
Yes.
Yeah. You might be getting in the prophetic, setting your wings, getting, it's Christ the eagle. You might be reaching out the missionary age, Christ the man.
Yes.
No, the compassion and stuff. So it really does depend on what you need. Mm-hmm. Christ, this bread that comes down from heaven, in some way, when he breaks the bread, it's exactly the bread you need. He knows exactly that portion of bread to give you on a daily basis, which is exactly the nutrients and the vitamins and whatever that you need for your current situation. And that's different than mine. Now, you might be listening to Marriage and Divorce now. Yeah. Whereas me, when I'm feeling hungry spiritually, me, I'm listening to Divine Love and Sovereign Grace. I'm listening to That Day on Calvary. I'm listening to Message of Grace, because that's what I need. That's the spiritual vitamins that I'm needing in my, that's what I'm hungering and thirsting for. So It really does depend on where we are. And that's why he's the ideal bread. He's bread that, you know, to each person, he's exactly what they need. He's their satisfying portion.
Amen.
When you're partaking of him. That's he's the antitype of the manna. You know, and the manna was exactly what each person needed. It tasted, gave them exactly the virtue they needed individually. So let me just show you this, is that he's the bread who comes down from heaven. So Jesus, before he became Jesus, mm-hmm. he was the eternal bread.
Yes.
He's the Logos. He was the Word. And then, and God knew that in our mortal realm, in our humanity, our mortality, our fallen condition, we could never partake of that eternal bread. It, we would perish. That eternal bread, that's why he said to Moses, no man can see my face and live. Now, my full revelation, you'll perish in your mortality. So that eternal bread is glorious. That was Christ. He says, Father, restore me to the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. But God in his wisdom, looking down in our fallen condition, he knew we don't need bread the way that it was in heaven. We need the bread to come down from heaven. So the bread itself, the Word had to become flesh. The bread had to come down from heaven and become a man. And still, we couldn't partake much yet. Yeah. Yeah, he came. He was perfect. But now bread was born. The bread, the Word became flesh, was born. Now he has to grow. He has to mature. He's going through the teenage years. And so this bread now, when you, we'll get on to the next slide. When you prepare bread, there's four basic elements in bread. There's flour, there's yeast, there's water, there's salt. That's the base of bread. But depending on the type of bread you want, you now put other additives. Mm-hmm. You might put seeds, you might put, you know, different things, you might put honey.
Yeah.
You know, there's different things to make whatever loaf of bread you're trying to take. So Jesus was always the perfect, pure Word. But to become the real, true bread from heaven that we can partake of and overcome on a daily basis, there were additives that needed to be added to him. And these things could only come in the days of his flesh, when the Word came from being the Word in heaven and became flesh and started to walk as a man. And now he's walking as a teenage boy, and he's being persecuted because he's not giving in to watching the pornography with the rest of the boys.
Right.
Yeah, and he's going through different things, and the neighbors are laughing, ah, you righteous boy, you know, persecuting him. And he's learning what it's like. This isn't easy. And it's putting something in his experience. So the bread that comes down from heaven, there's these additives that are being added to him during the days of his mortality. And now he's getting into the ministry. And now he's facing up to all manner of things. He's facing up to persecutions. He's facing up to reproaches. There's people blaspheming him, saying mean things against him. Then he's going to get beaten. He's going to get whipped. All of these things he's going through. He's going to be hungry. He's going to be in the wilderness. He's going to be tempted. Yeah, he's getting all of these things as God. He never had experienced those things. So now the bread has to come down from heaven and get all these additives so that it can become the bread that we can partake of. You see, that's how now it's coming down. So the bread comes down from heaven. Like I'm saying, consider how you prepare your bread. Now, what is the foundation of bread? Is flour. Flour is wheat. Jesus is the great corn of wheat that had to be sown into this mortal world. But that corn of wheat, what had to happen to it? It had to fall in the ground and die. Before it could become the real bread that we're partaking of now, in itself, in Christ, the wheat was perfect. But it was not yet, the Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, being made complete, to become the real bread from heaven that we need on a daily basis. It wasn't going to be easy if Jesus was just the perfect bread from heaven as he was in heaven. And we're trying to approach him and saying, Lord, this is hard. He doesn't understand that it's hard. He's perfect. He's the law. He's at the mount saying, no, thou shalt not sin. Now we're going to him and saying, Lord, I'm being tempted of the devil. Now, when we're approaching him now, the bread of heaven, he can break that bread and give us satisfaction to say, I know what it's like. I was in the wilderness. I was tempted in all manner and was tough, but without sin. Let me show you how to overcome that. So the bread had to come down from heaven and come and be bread and walk on earth for 33 years so that it could become a complete loaf with all the additives that were required for him to become exactly the portion of bread that we need each day to go from the altar all the way to the throne. He's going to have everything in his experience. He understands everything we're speaking to him about. He can minister exactly to our situation because he's walked that way before. It's not like he's just speaking theory. He knows these things. Like in bread, now they're putting vitamin D in the bread down in Ireland. They put all these additives because there's a need. That's why Jesus had to walk the way that he walked. Now, he's the bread that comes down from heaven. Yeah. Now, I just put in my notes that Jesus, he was the corn of wheat. Yeah. He's the true whole grain bread. That's what he is.
Yes.
He's the original seed bread. That's what he was. And he came down, he dwelt amongst us. And then he growed and he matured. And the Bible says in the days of his flesh, he cried with great tears and so forth to him that was able to save him from death. So there's a lot of things that he went through in the days of his flesh. And all of that made a certain taste, a certain virtue, certain vitamins and nutrients in this bread that came down from heaven. And as soon as that was complete, what happened to the bread? The bread was broken on the cross. Now the bread has to be broken. First, the wheat had to be sifted. He was tested.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had to be ground. Even in Gethsemane, Gethsemane means the olive press. He had to be crushed. And then he had to be baked under the fiery judgment of God. Yeah, he was baked. It wasn't easy. Fiery trials that he went through, judgment he went through. And then he became the perfect heaven-provided bread for us. Now he was exactly the bread that we need because he perfectly understands what we're going through.
Yeah.
He's walked this road. He knows what it is to be a 5-year-old. He knows what it is to be a 10-year-old. He knows what it is to go through adolescence. He knows what it is to be in the ministry and to be persecuted and misunderstood. He knows what it is to be exhausted. He knows all of these different things. It all becomes part of him. And now he says to his disciples in the upper room, he takes the bread, he breaks it and says, this is my body which is broken for you. He says the bread's going to be broken, but it's going to be broken for you. And don't forget the second part of it. He says, take ye and eat all of it. Yeah. So when this body is going to be broken, he gives the disciples the bread, he breaks it. He says, now eat, you need to eat your portion. You need to eat your portion of me, and that's the daily bread. And then now when the bread is broken, now through the 7 church ages, that broken bread is our daily bread.
Hallelujah.
It's our overcoming portion to him that overcomes. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to each age.
Yes.
Revelation of Jesus Christ to each individual. It's the bread from heaven coming to minister to your particular need at each junction of the journey. That's why we need to keep partaking of him. And to finish it off, just here, it's from the altar to the throne. Where do we first partake of the bread of life? Is at the altar. Yeah. At the altar, when you come to the altar, you partake in of that bread of life for the first time. That brings you spiritually to life. That sets you on the path of salvation, the path of redemption, the path of your calling. You've partaken of the bread. And then each day we should be partaking of the daily bread. Like the manna, we need the bread on a daily basis. And where does it end up? Where does this all end up? I'll read this quote in Poland on the weekend. I'll read it as the last quote this evening from the Church Age book, when the prophet's speaking of this hidden manna. He says, now then, there's also the thought of the future partaking of the hidden manna. He says, it will be the eternal partaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the eternal ages to come. So saints, this partaking of this bread that came down from heaven, it's never going to end. It starts at the altar. We partake in of the revelation of Christ. We're eating of him. It's doing something in our spiritual system. The prophet saying when you get into glory, we get into the new heavens and the new earth, he said there will be Christ, the tree of life. There will be the bread of life himself. And he says there will be an eternal partaking of that bread of life. Every day. And look, listen how he explains it. He says, how else could we begin to know the unsearchable riches of his own being? So if you take it back, now we get back to the eternal bread again. Now we'll have bodies like unto his glorious body. Now we won't be in mortality subject to sin and that. So that he only can give us bread suitable for the pilgrim journey now. But then when we have a glorified body like his glorified body, now there's the full revelation, full partaking of the bread for eternity. And the prophet says, why? He says, because how else could we know his unsearchable being? He's eternal. There's going to be an eternal partaking. He says, and then all that we have longed to know, all of our unanswered questions, all that will be revealed. It will be from Christ, who is our life, that we receive it. Or sometimes we think we get to know a little of him and his word down here, and it's so good. It makes us rejoice. But one day when our flesh changes, that word and he will become what we never dreamed possible. Yeah. That's how the bread had to come down from heaven, had to become a man, had to veil himself. He couldn't show the fullness of his glory. He had to be a mediator between God and man. And then when he was crushed and then he was crucified and the bread was broken, now there's no situation. Now, what does the Bible say about Jesus? He's the faithful high priest. He's the sympathizing Jesus. He's a compassionate high priest. He can be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. So whatever we're going through in each stage of this journey, each stage of this pilgrimage, as we just approach him each morning and say, Lord, you know what I'm going through? I'm not feeling well. Yes. Oh, Lord, you know what I'm going through? Things aren't going well in my family. Oh, Lord, you know what I'm going through? The persecution I'm going through at work, whatever that it is, or the persecution in my life, or the temptation, Lord, that I'm going through, he can come right down to where you are and bring you that portion of the broken bread and say, this is exactly what you need to give you the resources you need to overcome. And if you just come by grace and you take of that bread in simplicity and you just feed upon him and spend some time in fellowship with him, you'll find there's nothing that'll come before a believer. He'll never put upon you more than you're able to bear. But with every situation, he reveals himself as the way of escape. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So I'd really, really just recommend, saints, as we think about family altars, we think about our lives, we think about careers, we think about what's laying before this year, let's make sure we get the ABCs right as well. Because if you don't get the ABCs right, there's no point in algebra. And the real ABC is always believe Christ. We know that from the message. The real ABC is your personal life and my personal life. Am I partaking of this bread that comes down from heaven? Am I utilizing this heaven-given resource that grace has provided for me? I don't have to work myself up. It's not because of my merits. It's not because of my goodness. I can come freely. Jesus said, you come. The Old Testament says, what's the price? He says, this bread, this milk is what? Without money and without price. So let's come again upon this evening. And may the Lord help us to walk with him and partake of him on a daily basis. Let's dance in. Amen. Let's bow our heads at the end, saints. There's no two of us here today, and there's nobody online who's going through exactly the same thing. Everybody's circumstances, everybody's situation is very individual. Yeah, and the need that you have is individual. And the answer to your need is very individual. But we can trace it back to one source, the answer, and that is to Jesus. The bread who came down from heaven. And if you just partake of him, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you're going to come through victorious. It may not be easy, but he'll give you the strength. There might be times where there's one set of footprints in the sand because he carried you. But you're going to come out the other side and you're going to be richer in experience. You're going to know him better. You're going to appreciate him more. And you're going to realize, Lord, this is a walk of grace. It started at the altar with grace. And Lord, I daily need your grace. I need your amazing grace day by day. And Lord, the manifestation of that grace is in this daily bread, is when you reveal yourself to me and you come and put your arm around me, Lord, and you come with your consolation, you come with the word of understanding, you come with the word of exhortation. Lord, you speak to me. There's quickening power sometimes, there's healing power sometimes, there's all manner of virtue. Lord, sometimes I need you as the guide. Sometimes I need you as my corrector. Lord, sometimes I just need you as my friend. You know exactly what it is that I need on a daily basis. And Lord, you have promised and you've been so faithful to your promise to meet my every need. So I'm just coming, Lord, with an open heart upon this evening. And I'm just saying, Lord, forgive me for looking for the answers in the wrong places, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Let me come back to when I was a sinner, I found the perfect solution in you. And Lord, in my situation today, it's going to be the same thing. You are the perfect solution to my need. So guide me, Lord. Lord, come. I just want the atmosphere to be right. I want to put my sins under the blood. I just want to speak to you from my heart, Lord. I want to speak my frustrations, my disappointments. I want to just speak to you, Lord. Because, Father, I need you to minister to me, because I can never be what I'm supposed to be unless you, Lord, come and just break that bread and come and give it to me, and you and I sit down together and we sup together, and then it'll be all back in the condition that it's supposed to be. Whatever you need, why not let's all pray a little bit this evening? You speak to him and I'll speak to him, and just come and tell him where you are, and tell him he knows. He's walked this road before. He knows where you are. His footprints were bloody footprints. He as a man, he became the broken bread so he could minister the virtue and the revelation to you and I at this junction in the journey. So let's come unto him and let's partake of this bread. Let's all pray. Yes, Lord. Oh, Father, as we do,
wait upon the Lord and
bring ourselves to this Lord, it means that you're ready and prepared to feed our souls. You know what we need. You know what we lack. Lord, you know what we desire. Lord, dear Heavenly Father, therefore come. And I say, Lord, let it be according to your word. Let me, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, walk in the path, Lord. Help me, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, to reach my goals in faith. In Christ Jesus, O Father, that, O God, my desire is what it is. My desire to take souls is to be pleasing before thee, is to be an offering, that I may be a testimony, Lord, dear Heavenly Father God, that when I speak, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, I speak of those things, Lord, that you have put me through, Lord, and dear Heavenly Father, that you have given unto me to overcome, and Father, I know that we live in the end times of God, so many, so much deception around us, so far, too many temptations, O God. But Lord, dear Heavenly Father, if our eyes not feel more, Lord, if our eyes focus on thee, and Lord, our ears not, not be blocked, but we will hear from you, Father, that's my heart's desire, to be, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, God, a perfect Christ, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, say that you help us, perfect saint before the Lord. My perfection, Lord, it comes from this woman, it comes, Lord. And I tell you, Lord, Father, it cleans me, Lord, it washes me, Lord. It takes away, Lord, dear Father, all the dross from my heart. And Lord, where I can go, dear Father, God, come and let off the pressure, and dear Father, God, so that you could speak to me.
like Elijah, the juniper tree, oh Father, not dearly, Father, but he found grace. Not dearly, Father, for an angel came and ministered unto him, oh God. Lord, like Jesus, Lord, in the garden of Gethsemane, oh Father. Lord, dearly, Father, God, an angel came and ministered unto him, oh God. Lord, dearly, Father, God, that's where I am, where I need your presence, what God, where I need your glory, Lord, to overtake me, Lord, dearly, Father, God, and to lead me, to guide me, Lord, into that position, Lord, where I can be positioned and placed in Christ Jesus, so that, Lord, I can bring forth fruit, Lord, if, Lord, dear me, Father God, that I may, Lord, dear me, to be strong in the word of the gospel, prepare me, dear me, Father God, so that, dear me, Father, I can be pleasing to you, Lord, dear me, Father God, mold me and make me after thy own will, Lord, so that at the end of it, oh Lord, I may come before you and be pleasing, Lord, my offering, Lord, my prayers will be acceptable before your presence, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, dear me, Father, for letting my ears hear these things, Lord, these words, Lord, words of life, eternal words, oh Father, Lord, dear me, Father, the power of the word, Lord, that goes into the soul, Lord, and cleanses the soul, Lord, take away all guile, Lord, and everything, Lord, darkness of this world, and fill me, Lord, dear me, Father, Lord, with your glory, so that, Lord, dear me, Father, I may walk in the strength, Lord, dear me, Father, God, of your holiness, that I may have overcoming power, Lord, dear me, God, knowing, Lord, dear Father, that only overcomers, Lord, to him who will overcome, Lord, will be granted to sit with you, Lord, in your kingdom, oh Father. Therefore, Lord, as we have given me grace, Lord, like giving me another day again to come to your presence, Lord, to hear your word, let it not just pass by, oh God, but let this word, Lord, dear Father, be stored, Lord, in my soul. David said, I hid your word in my soul so that I could not sin against you. Oh, be merciful tonight, oh Father, and dear Heavenly God, and give me, Lord, dear Heavenly Father God, the strength that I need, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, to walk this path. You have walked this path before, and Lord, dear Heavenly God, so when we come to you, Lord, when we cry up, Father, when we call upon your name, Lord, when we, Father God, approach your throne, Lord, dear Heavenly Father God, you understand. The songwriter said, you understand and say, well done. Lord Jesus, be, Lord, be merciful tonight, Lord, and pour out your grace. Lord, I remember, Lord, Lord, dear me, Alex, sister, Arnold, Lord, dear, Lord, dear me, Father, would you bless them at all, Lord? Remember them all, feed them their love, the congregation, Lord, dear me, Father, good and done for Father. May you be with each and every one of us, oh Father. You know our different and diverse needs, oh God. Will you, Lord, dear me, Father, God, bless each and every one of us, oh God. I pray this to this evening, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Jesus, who is in trouble with his family. Lord, may you be with him, Lord, and bless him. Lord, dear me, Father, I pray for Kaitel, Father. Bless him, Lord, dear me, Father. Open up, Lord, and shut off, bless him, Lord. And let the angel of the Lord go with him, oh Father. And Lord, Father, Lord, let him find, Lord, dear me, that which is searching for. And Lord, dear me, Father, will provide all our needs tonight, Lord, in Christ Jesus, because you said, I will never leave you alone, but I will be with you up to the end of the world. You said, come out of us. That I have learned, Lord, dear me, Father, we said, I'll give you the rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, says the word. Lord, we bless you, we thank you, oh God, so that you so much, Lord, because you're so mindful of us, Lord. Who are we, Lord, dear me, Father, God, that you may be so mindful of us, oh dear me, Father, and yet, oh God, you say, Lord, you have loved us, Lord, Lord, dear me, Father, God, we pray. God. And Lord, dear me, Father, you said, Lord, nothing can, you said, Lord, there's no weapon formed against us, Lord, that can prosper. Therefore, tonight, oh Father, I just humble myself and say, Lord, let your word have its way in me. Lord, dear me, Father, God, let him break me and make me fresh, Lord, so that, Lord, dear me, Father, God, I could be the person that you have always wanted me to be, that which you have desired from the beginning, Lord, even before the foundation of the world. Oh, God, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You are your merciful God, Lord. You provide all our needs in Christ Jesus, and we thank you. We love you.
God bless you, saints. Let's ask, maybe Daniel, you can pray for us, please. Daniel? and then we'll dismiss with a song.
Lord Jesus, we're thankful that we were able to be here today. Yes. That Father God, you provided us ways that we were able to come just to your house once again, mm-hmm. able to sing your worship, able, Lord Jesus, to hear the preaching and what you've said unto us. We thank you, Lord, for such simple messages, but how important they are unto us. Mm-hmm. That Father God, we can look at the morning watch, and Lord Jesus, that it'll fill our soul for the day. That's our prayer. That when we get up tomorrow, you may be there, that God, you will speak unto us. That Lord Jesus, whatever we read, we may continue to meditate upon. That when we pray, we may see the power in our prayer. That Lord, things may change is my prayer. That Father God, you be with us even now as we leave. That Lord, the word that's been spoken now may continue to be with us. That Lord, we continue to think about it. That Lord, we may apply it in our lives. Not just being hearers of this word, but also doers, Father, is our prayer. I pray that you continue to bless these Bible studies, that, Lord, we can continue to keep going to higher and higher places in them, that, Lord, they may continue to minister to our needs, to, Lord, what we need to hear from you. I pray you please bless the pastor, that, God, you be with him, give him inspiration in what to preach as well. Be with the song leaders that are here, that you continue to bless them, that, Father, whatever they sing may be in the Spirit, that, Lord, it may bless your people, Lord, that your presence may come down, that you may feel welcome here. I pray be with us now as we leave. That Father, you leave with us is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Copy your saints. Bangwani, would you lead us in one, please, brother? Thank you so much. Thanks.
Perhaps sing Touch Your People once again. It's not a hymn, amen. But touch your people once again with your precious holy word, we pray. We need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. We have heard so many big but empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Bring your people to a state of kingdom life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy word, we pray. Let your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church. To restore authority and power, let a mighty rushing wind blow in. Touch your people once again, Lord, your time. And the broken, wounded soldiers, oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross as the only source for us when we stand up facing final battle cry. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy.
shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church, not for temporary deeds, but to restore glory and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow in. Touch your people once again.